Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersWork.com here on Seaside FM. I'm Costas Halavrezos. In your lifetime, how many economic development strategies and agencies targeting the Maritimes have come and gone? Despite those efforts, our regional economy remains fragile. And every time some other region booms, we lose more Maritimers whose talents and skills could help us thrive. Dr. Donal Savoie is currently writing a book entitled Economic Development in the Maritimes and subtitled Speaking Truth to Maritimers and Canadians. Last week, we discussed some of the historical reasons the region lost ground, but today we're going to focus on the future. Dr. Savoie, welcome back.
Good to be back, Costas.
Now, you're very positive about the future of Halifax as a regional center for the Maritime Provinces. How would you sell that notion to someone in St. John or Edmundston or Charlottetown?
Well, we have to sell it, Costas, and we have to explain to Maritimers that Halifax is really our growth pole. It can help all of us. It can help all of the Maritime Provinces, and at some point, somebody's going to have to ask the question, would we rather have growth in Halifax or Toronto? My answer as a Maritimer is Halifax, for all kinds of good reasons. I mean, look, if Halifax grows, and it's going to grow, I think Halifax is poised for growth. When Halifax grows, it's going to help Moncton. It's going to help Charlottetown. There could be a corridor between Moncton and Halifax that goes through Truro and Oxford, the blueberry capital of the world. There are all kinds of positive things that can flow out of it. And Halifax actually is a beautiful city. Let me give you a couple of statistics here. One, I got a special order from StatsCan asking what's the preferred location of Maritimers when they leave their home communities. Where do they prefer to go? I assume it was Calgary, Fort McMurray, Toronto. But no, by far, the preferred location is Halifax. That's where Maritimers want to go. That's true of Maritimers in PEI, in New Brunswick, and rural parts of Nova Scotia. There's a certain magnet, there's a certain attraction, and we ought all be proud of it. We ought not to be jealous of Halifax. Halifax has Dalhousie, a world-class, and we all ought to be proud of it. I'm at the University of Moncton, been here all my whole career. I love Dalhousie. And that's, if we Maritimers want to grow what we have to be far more positive about what we have to offer. And the competition between Sydney, Nova Scotia, and Halifax has never made sense. It makes less sense today. Competition between Moncton and Halifax never made sense. It makes no sense today.
But competing on what grounds? I mean, some people would see it as a zero-sum game. If Halifax gains, then other cities or regions are going to lose.
Well, Costas, you're right, and I've been told that. I recall in 1986, when the Prime Minister asked me to tour the Atlantic Canada, to prepare a report on the establishment of the Atlantic Canada Opportunities. I recall very well being in Sydney over lunch, meeting with business people, and one business person said to the group, there were 10, 12 of us, said, look, if there's a choice between growth and Halifax and Toronto, send it to Toronto. I was aghast, and nobody challenged them. Well, let me tell you, a zero-sum game is not between Sydney and Halifax, it's between the Maritimes and Toronto. This globalization economy is for real. We are in this boat together, and Halifax is the anchor for this region.
What are some of the other assets you see in Halifax that might not be visible to people?
Well, let me give you another statistic. We did a survey of federal public servants where they would like to move from Ottawa, and the top location was Halifax. So federal public servants in Ottawa, when they're asked, if you have to move out of Ottawa, where would you like to go? They chose Halifax before Toronto and Vancouver. There's got to be a reason for that, Costas. And the reason for that is that, A, it's a beautiful city. B, it has the infrastructure, healthcare. C, it's got the universities. There's something about Halifax that's special. The shipbuilding contract is given a level of energy. And we all ought to applaud it. I mean, we Maritimers are part of Halifax. And so it's got potential, and let's support it.
But for instance, how is that going to help St. John, which had the last large shipbuilding contract back in the 80s? It no longer even has a shipyard.
I understand that, but when you have a $27 billion contract in Halifax, it's the auto pack for the Maritimes. That's what it is. And so business people, small firms, This $27 billion contract offers all kinds of potential for engineering firms, for small producers. People in Moncton, St. John, Charlottetown say, how can we access this? And it so happens that the owners of the plant, of the shipyard, are Maritimers. They're the Irvings firm, St. John. They would be far more open to helping fellow producers in the Maritimes and having somebody from away, whether it's in New York, California, or England. So the owners are from here. They're rooted in the Maritime region. So it's incumbent upon us, all of us, from St. John to Moncton to Charlottetown, say, well, that $26, $27 billion contract, there's got to be something in there that we can do.
Now, last week you mentioned that about 30 years ago, the Harvard economist, John Kenneth Galbraith, who was born in Canada, but of course was an advisor to U.S. President Kennedy, said that the Maritime provinces are in the middle of two of the world's leading economic hotspots, Western Europe and the eastern seaboard of the United States. And he wondered why the Maritime provinces couldn't take advantage of its strategic geographic location. But of course, since then, we've seen the rise of China and India and Brazil. Does Galbraith's observation still stand for the Maritimes?
Yeah, and in fact, that's what prompted me to write the book, because I recall very well when he said that. And I figured, well, we got to answer that question. And so, it applies very much today, as much as it did in 1987, 88, or whatever he said. And so we have to find an answer. Now, one of the things that we have to accept and recognize, and I hope Ken Galbraith would have recognized, is that it's not just the Maritime provinces. Maine is in the middle of this hotspot, or these two hotspots. Ireland. And so it bypassed a number of countries. But why did it bypass us? And that's what I set out, you know, to answer. And I think there are three reasons. Geography, national policies and the national government, and Maritimers. On national policies and national government, we are marginalized. Far more today than 125 years ago, 150 years ago. Look, Costas, they added more members of parliament. They added more members of parliament, Ontario and West, than the total complement of members of parliament from the three Maritime provinces. And so when you govern, you know, when you don't have a Senate that works, you don't have an upper house like Australia has, the U.S. has, Germany has, an upper house to balance rep by pop, by regions, to bring proper balance. We don't have that. What we have in Canada is governing from the center. It's governed from the office of the Prime Minister. Prime Ministers, their purpose is to get elected. It's to win power. You win power in Southern Ontario, Southern Quebec, and now increasingly Alberta and B.C. So we are even more marginalized. And so when you look at the reasons why we didn't grow as well as we should have, those are the three reasons, and it's not about to get better. So we have to look at the mirror and say, what can we do?
I'm Costas Halavrezos. You're listening to Encore on Seaside FM, sponsored by BoomersWork.com. If you're retired and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, BoomersWork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of BoomersWork.com. My guest on this week's edition of Encore is Dr. Donald Savoy of the University of Moncton. Now, what about the actual businesses that are doing all right in the Maritimes now? I recently spoke with a fellow I've met socially over the years, but I never really knew what he did for a living. It turned out he's with a growing company, nearly 100 employees now, based in Nova Scotia, but they've just opened an office in Australia. And we hear the same thing occurring with companies that create content, say, for the digital world, popping up here and there in the Maritimes. But these companies are really invisible to the population. They don't have smokestacks outside or big parking lots. Do our governments have accurate enough information to track the economic influence of all these small companies in the Maritimes?
The short answer is no. The Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency, of which when I give talks, people introduce me as the Father Bakwa because of a report I did for the Prime Minister, and I always remind them, well, if I'm the father and never met the mother, you were to get a bit of a laugh. But I don't think ACOA has the right data as well. I think bureaucracy's been caught into a different kind of game, the accountability game, the blame game, the political game. I don't think they've focused on what we have to offer. And the question you've raised, Costas, is the right one. We Maritimers, we have businesses. Forget businesses, you know, from away. Just look at the landscape of the Maritime provinces. People who have come, cut our wood, taken our products, made a buck and left. But look at the people who have stayed. Look at the Irvings. Look at the McCains. Look at John Bragg. These people are from Maritimers. They live here. That's where their future is linked to the region. And so we have to look at the small businesses that you're talking about that are growing, and we have to see what we can do. Forget attracting these firms, you know, from away. I'm a bit of a maritime nationalist, but I think if there's a lesson learned over the past 100 years, 50 years, is that we Maritimers have got to do it.
What about the political obstacles to regional growth, though? And by that, I mean the fact that we have three distinct governments focused on their own provinces, regardless of any possible synergies.
Well, Costas, I'm a bit of a—I realize I'm a bit different. I believe in maritime union. Not many people do. I'm one of them. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. There's too many stumbling blocks. But surely, to God, we can do a lot better. Surely, to God, former Premier of Nova Scotia, Savage, told me, you know what's my biggest challenge for economic development is Frank McKenna. And I said, how so? He said, whenever I go to Toronto, Frank was there 2 weeks prior. So to have Nova Scotia competing with New Brunswick and Toronto makes no sense to me. Makes no sense to me. I'll go further. We are facing a bit of a tsunami here. We have an aging population, which is aging a lot quicker, a lot faster than the rest of Canada. And so the downward pressure on productivity and the upward pressure on costs of delivering public services is going to be immense. It's going to be a major challenge. Does it make sense to you? It certainly doesn't make sense to me to have a hospital, a healthcare center in Amherst and one in Sackville. I mean, there's a few miles apart. The only reason we have that is that we have a border, an artificial border. And so we need to come to terms with that. There's all kinds of things that we need to do. There's something that I go to Halifax often, and whenever I cross that border, there's a sign. Bumblebees honeybees cannot be imported in Nova Scotia. It rattles me. It just drives me nuts every time. I'd like to tear it down. And I've asked a former premier of Nova Scotia, if you're a bee in Sackville, you tend to fly to Amherst, and you see that sign, you're supposed to turn around. We need maritime cooperation more than ever, and it's not happening, and it frustrates me.
Now, just finally, we began this conversation last week talking about, you know, the golden age in the Maritimes, pre-Confederation, when we had very vibrant industries and we were doing lots of trade, you know, with the Eastern Seaboard, with the West Indies. But bringing us into the modern era, you know, we've been through NAFTA. We're now headed towards the Trans-Pacific Partnership that's been signed but not ratified. What impacts do you see in this truly globalized economy the Maritimes are in today with regard to treaties like that?
Best thing that could happen to the Maritime provinces. I repeat, the best thing. And if you look at data over the past 20, 25 years, trade between the Maritimes and the outside world has increased a lot more than trade between the Maritimes and the rest of Canada. There's a lot of potential. And so the national government can't get in the way. It can't favor Ontario and Quebec. We have to compete, and we're doing so. I know businesses in New Brunswick that are gearing up for the free trade with all of Europe, seafood producers and so on. There's a lot of potential. And so free trade is one way for us to grow. It's not going to be the national government. It's we have to look outside of our own borders, and we have to act as a maritime region. No more this Cape Breton versus Nova Scotia, Nova Scotia versus New Brunswick versus PEI. It makes no sense. We have to think and act like a maritime region.
Dr. Savoy, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, Costas, thank you for having me.
Dr. Donnell Savoy's forthcoming book is entitled Economic Development in the Maritimes, Speaking Truth to Maritimers and Canadians. It'll be published next year. We'd like to hear what you think is the most important thing the Maritimes could do to improve prosperity in the region. Our email is encore@boomerswork.com. You've been listening to Encore on Seaside FM, sponsored by boomerswork.com. If you're retired or close to retirement and looking for part-time employment, or if you're an employer looking for experienced men and women, boomerswork.com can connect you. Just go to the homepage of boomerswork.com to find out more. Each week at this time, boomerswork.com presents Encore on Seaside FM. We'll introduce you to men and women exploring the opportunities and challenges that face the growing number of Canadians aged 50 and over. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great day.